Well, hope everyone's having a great afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on the Mighty 1090. And we got a lot to get to today. We're going to get out to your phone calls as well. Coming up bottom of the hour, we're going to go over to Arizona. We're going to be joined by Scott Bear, a Raiders insider for Comcast Sports Network Bay Area, find out what's going on with the Oakland Ball Club, the stadium situation. But right now, we're going to head out to the Corky's Hotline. The outstanding national baseball writer for Bleacher Report, Scott Miller, joins us on the Mighty 1090. Scotty, where do we find you today?
At the Peoria Sports Complex. Mariners Padres about to kick off. I think last time we talked, I was home on my couch between Florida and Arizona watching some college basketball tournament action. And today I'm out over in the Cactus League and little Padres Mariners.
All right. What have you found out about the home ball club, the San Diego Padres, as you run around there this morning?
You know, I've actually been more on the Mariners side because I have some stuff I got to pick up on them, but I did pop over. It's nice, these complexes in Arizona that where two teams share, because you can cover some more ground. And I had some Mariners stuff I had to do. I did pop over and, talked to Bud Black for a little while. And, as I think Craig just said on the update, Austin Hedges reassigned to the minor league camp. Bud Black had some good things to say about him, but they think he needs to go out and play. And I know there was some thought that maybe with Fedorovich out for the beginning of the season with that knee injury, maybe Hedges would open as a backup to Derek Norris. Maybe they find enough playing time for him. But obviously that plan is out. And, no secret with Hedges, terrific defensively. He needs to continue to work with that stick a little bit, and they're going to get him a bunch of at-bats on the minor league side the rest of the spring, and then make sure he plays every day when the minor league season opens, at least in the beginning.
Hey, I haven't talked to Buddy, and I saw it come down this morning, and it didn't necessarily say where he was being reassigned to. For me, I would think that they're probably sending him to Double-A. Let him start there where he finished last year and kind of get that bat going.
Yeah, I think that's right. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure on his marching orders going forward, other than minor league.
Hey, Scotty, what do you think is going to happen with this logjam in the outfield? I mean, you got three guys that are making money. They're under contract, and Quentin, Maben, and Venable making the least of the three. What do you think is going to happen when camp finally ends up breaking?
Well, there's no way they're going to break camp with everybody. I mean, there's just too many bodies and not enough spots. And, talking to scouts around the Cactus League, and even when I was over in Florida a couple weeks ago, people are still betting Quentin. They're going to figure out a way to unload Quentin, mostly because the contract is easier to move. And, of course, he would have to waive a no-trade clause. And I talked to a scout today. Is sure that if the Padres approach him with that he's going to ask for one more year to be added to his contract. Now, I don't know if that'll happen or not, but that's what some of the people are thinking. At least rival scouts that are sizing things up. And Maben, the thought of trading him, he would fit. I mean, for example, San Francisco right now is short on outfielders because Hunter Pence is out with that broken arm for the first month of the season. And, Angel Pagan, who had back surgery last year, he had two injections in his back late last week because he was having more back trouble. So, Giants say that's going to be a small issue. They don't think it's going to be a big issue. But I'll tell you what, for a guy, a center fielder that had back surgery late last year and he's already having back trouble again this spring, I mean, to me, the Giants, that's horrible news for the Giants. So they're an example of a club that could use an outfielder. But, the feeling, consensus amongst most scouts I'm talking to is that, Cameron Maben, that contract is just horrible. And they don't see how the Padres can unload that. So they're looking at Quentin. So, we'll see. But I think A.J. Preller is going to have his work cut out for him right up until the end of camp, because I think some of these decisions are going to go until then.
A guy that's really making a push to make this roster is Tommy Medica, who I think going to camp, most people would figure he didn't have a shot to make it. Here's a guy that's hitting over 500 during the spring and taking the ball out of the ballpark.
Yeah, he is, and you're right. I mean, he's making a very interesting case for himself. Obviously, they've got Yonder Alonso at first base, but, Medica's getting some time there, and they're trying to get Quentin's time at first base, too. So, The one thing I think that's different, Coach, about the Padres now versus the last several years, and I think you'll probably agree with me on this, and it's a pleasant development, and that is when we get down to the end of spring and in these last few cuts, instead of looking around at their roster and almost trying to add players like, oh, geez, we've got these three spots and we don't really have anybody. You know, we got to pick the best of the worst. This year, those decisions are going to be tougher. They're going to, you know, as somebody told me with the club earlier in the spring, when we get to the end of the spring, there's going to be some good players that don't make this ball club. And I think that's right. There's not going to be enough spots for everybody. And I think that bodes well in that there are too many players, too many choices, most of whom are pretty talented, as opposed to this dearth of talent that we've seen the last several years.
Scott Miller joining us from Peoria on the Corky's Hotline on the Mighty 1090. He said you spent some time over with Seattle. Lloyd McClendon, I got an opportunity, Scotty, to meet him last year. Boy, what a breath of fresh air. I mean, a guy that's all through and through baseball, always into it, always very intense. But you know what? I think he's a little bit different this time around from the first time around working there as a manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And his ball club's got a chance to do some real damage this year.
Yeah, it really does. You know, they're becoming a trendy pick to win that American League West and make a strong run at the World Series in the American League. And I have to say, I'm on board that. I think they showed enough progress last year. I think the time and place is right for the Seattle Mariners right now. Adding Nelson Cruz to the lineup this year. Now you're talking Robinson Cano and Nelson Cruz in the middle of that lineup. Now you've got something, and then you add the young kids that have been developing, like Kyle Seager and Dustin Ackley and the catcher Michael Zunino. I think that where the Mariners are concerned, that they've got a nice mix of veterans now with young players who are ready to realize their potential, and not to mention all the pitching they've got. You know, Felix Hernandez on down, Taiwan Walker, James Paxton, the Iwakuma kid that pitches probably slot in number two behind the King. They've got a lot of very interesting pieces in Seattle, and I think they can make a run and win that division this year.
Hey, Scotty, Michael Zunino, the catcher, he got tremendous power. He has a lot of swings and misses in his bat. He's still very, very young. I think this guy's got a chance to have an outstanding major league career. He's one of the very best defensive catchers in baseball right now.
Yeah, he is. He's really terrific back there. And, you know, we're in an era, Coach, where, you know, you look around, there just aren't very many great catchers. Like we always hear, baseball's cyclical. I still go back to, you know, mid-90s when all those shortstops came up in the American League, Jeter and A-Rod and Nomar Garciaparra. You had all these great young shortstops, and sometimes it happens that way. And right now, I think we're in between cycles where catching is concerned. And you're right, Zunino behind the plate is fabulous.
I want to move to the Dodgers' signing of a Cuban infielder this morning. Soon-to-be 30-year-old Hector Olivera gets $62.5 million over 6 years with a $28 million signing bonus. Tell me what you know about Olivera, and how do you feel about this signing?
Yeah, you know, scouts love him, and even though he's 30, they say, you know, he's a lot closer to the majors than the Moncada kid that the Red Sox signed a couple weeks ago. That he's only 19. You would hope the 30-year-old is a lot closer to the majors than the 19-year-old Moncada. But, yeah, you know, his bat plays. Everybody likes his bat. I don't know for sure when we're going to see him in Los Angeles and how he's, you know, exactly how he's going to fit. But the Dodgers certainly have had success in that international market when they signed Yasiel Puig a few years back. And, the rich keep getting richer, don't they?
Yeah, to me, this sign's really strange because, I mean, number one, I realize Howie Kendrick only going to maybe be with the Dodgers for a year. They'd have to re-sign him. You know, Jimmy Rollins is long in the tooth. It sounds like this Olivera, if he came to the big leagues, he'd probably take the spot of Juan Uribe. But Juan Uribe's been one of the more consistent Dodger players the last few years.
Yeah, he has. And he's very important in that clubhouse. I'll tell you what, Juan Uribe, he's one of the keys to Yasiel Puig having a good season. Those two are close, and Juan Uribe has been a pretty good mentor to Puig. And I think in that clubhouse, people don't realize how big Uribe is in that regard. But, yeah, Jimmy Rollins, Kyle Seager's younger brother, Corey Seager, he's going to be the next shortstop after Jimmy Rollins. I mean, that's why I thought the trade for Rollins this winter made perfect sense. Because, you know, obviously the Dodgers last year had Hanley Ramirez as shortstop, and they weren't going to go down that path again. And so what they needed was a 1-year bridge from Hanley last year to when Corey Seager comes up next year, probably. And that's what they got in Jimmy Rollins. So, you know, Corey Seager is your shortstop of the future. And as you said, you know, Kendrick's over there at second base right now. And, Olivares fits third base or second base, probably third.
Scott Miller joining us from Peoria on the Corky's Hotline. Right now, just where we're at right now, not 2 weeks from now, but right now, who you got winning this division in the National League West? Because I'll tell you what, the Dodgers have their issues right now with Ryu being gone, and they're saying he could be gone 6 weeks. The Giants are having all kinds of problems with their starting rotation. You mentioned Angel Bacon. And then you got the San Diego Padres that, knock on wood, they've been healthy.
They have been. That's exactly right. And, you know, as we stand today, and in the Ryu, that injury, certainly throws a wrench into things. I mean, right now, I got to go Dodgers just basically out of respect for I think that's where the road to the division title has to go through, because they've won the division the last 2 years in a row. I know the Giants got in last year's wild card and won the World Series, but, you know, over the long haul, it's the Dodgers the last 2 years that have owned this division. And I think as long as you run Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke out there, and the news today on Ryu, the MRI did not, as of now, so far, it has not, you know, the results are no structural major damage in that shoulder. So unless subsequent tests all of a sudden reveal, whoops, there is major damage for Ryu, as of right now, no structural damage. So you would figure, he'll be back sooner rather than later. I think the Dodgers mix is pretty good. I do. I talked to a scout the other day that was just drooling over Jock Peterson, the rookie in center field. He said, this kid is the real deal. He said he reminds this scout of a young Fred Lynn playing defense in center field. And he said he's got more power in his bat than people think. All those reasons, for me, you still got to start the NL West with the Dodgers. But to me, it's Dodgers, Padres, Giants, and then there's a big gap, and then Rockies, Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks, I think, are a mess, and they're going to be several years away. Rockies, obviously, Cargo and Tulowitzki, can they ever remain healthy? And they're pitching suspect. But and as you mentioned, the Giants are having their problems right now, too. So, I mean, for me right now, the Dodgers and the Padres are the top two teams in the division.
Yeah, I would garner that, because the Giants are having all kinds of problems with their rotation right now. They don't really know what they've got up there, and we'll see where that goes. Scott Miller joining us from Peoria on the Corky's Hotline. Scotty, one last question. The Angels, your thoughts on the Angels, and what are you hearing regarding Josh Hamilton? Where's he at? What's he doing? And when are we going to have a decision? I heard maybe by opening day regarding whether or not he gets suspended or not, or sent to rehab.
Yeah, I think we're going to see an announcement on that either this week or next. I think definitely by opening day. What I'm hearing is it's probably going to be some combination of a suspension and time spent in rehab. Nobody knows how long a suspension. The Angels, I was with them the other day, and they're not saying much about it, but the vibe in their camp, they don't seem that worried about a suspension, simply because this also is a guy, Josh Hamilton, that had shoulder surgery, and he was not going to be back until May anyway. So unless Rob Manfred, new commissioner Rob Manfred, surprises everybody and comes up with an unbelievably harsh suspension, you know, 60, 70, 80 games, I mean, even if it's like a 30-gamer, he's really not going to miss much more time than he would have anyway, because he wasn't expected back until May. So you know, I mean, Hamilton obviously has a ton of challenges in front of him. You know, between what the demons he's fighting relating to addiction, and then the shoulder surgery he had, and his game that's unraveled on him in the last 2 years. I don't know what you can. I don't think if you're the Angels, I just don't think you can depend or count on much production from Hamilton this year. There's just too many things going on there. The rest of the club, Garrett Richards. I talked to him the other day. He's progressing on that from that knee injury, and he hopes to be back by opening day. It sounds like from the Angels' perspective, they're going to be cautious, maybe mid-April. Jared Weaver's been. He's still really good, but, you know, that velocity has declined. He's having to resort more to pitching and maybe every now and then a little bit of trickery versus that blazing fastball he used to have. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, Pujols is another year older. I know he's talking on and on about how his knees feel better than they have in years, but I still don't think, given his build and what his body's been through, you're not going to see the old Albert Pujols. I mean, you know, obviously Mike Trout is all world, but I don't know if Trout's got enough help. I think Angels had the best record in the American League last year, but I think so much went right for them. I see a little bit of a decline, and I'm telling you, Seattle Mariners to win the division.
Hey, Scott, I'm going to let you go, but where is Josh Hamilton right now? Does anybody know?
You know, I believe he's still rehabbing down in that Houston area, but no, I don't know that that's become, you know, public knowledge. And when it did come out early in the spring that he was rehabbing in Houston, see, that's part of the whole issue too. I think, he lives in Dallas in the off season, near where he played with Texas, and his wife, and I think they have three daughters. And I thought it was really weird early on when they said not only was Josh Hamilton not in spring training with the Angels when they first started camp, but he was rehabbing in Houston. That Houston just came out of left field because his family, as I just said, his wife and daughters live in Dallas. That's where he makes his home. So he was not with his family or with the Angels. He was down in Houston with some friends rehabbing. And that was a warning sign. And I think that's a sign of trouble. I mean, I cannot sit here today and tell you what's going on with Josh Hamilton and his family. But clearly he was not with his wife and kids earlier. It'd be a great end of the story if we find out he's reunited with them, but I don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions about Josh Hamilton right now.
Hey, Scotty, I'll let you enjoy the ball game, and thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure with you, Coach, and we'll see you when the games count for real here real soon.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Scotty. Take care.
You too.
There you go. Scott Miller, joining us from behind home plate at the Peoria Sports Complex. That game just getting underway between Seattle and the Padres. We'll take a quick timeout. Thanks for joining us on the Corky's Hotline, Mr. Miller. This is San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090.